right, two to the left. And Matthew goes, play action, and he's sacked! Matthew Stafford was crushed from behind by Everson Griffin, who's back, and he's back in a big way. Here comes Harrison Smith on a safety blitz, and Stafford was sacked. Harrison Smith on a beautifully timed safety blitz with the fifth sack of his career. Hand off Adrian. Room around the right side to the 25 to the 30. He's to the 40 to the 50. No flags on the play. Glover Quinn runs him down at the 20, but Adrian won't let him. Bring him down inside the 10 to the 5. Adrian to the 3-yard line. 75-yard run by Adrian Peterson. And Stafford goes back to pass, and he hoists the white flag and is destroyed. Anthony Barr, I believe, will be credited with the sack, the fifth sack today of Matthew Stafford, who has no chance. And Teddy goes play action, looks left, swings left. Zach Klein wide open. Nobody covered him. 40, 50, 45. Gets a block at the 35. Zach Klein down to the 20-yard line. By far the most explosive play of Zach Klein's career. It is a catch and run of 48 yards for number 48. Teddy play action, back to pass, fires right. Caught, Kyle Rudolph, touchdown. I think it was one-handed, left-handed by Kyle Rudolph, his third receiving touchdown this year. And the Vikings blitz captain Munnerlyn, and Stafford just has to hoist the white flag and go down via a sack. Sack for a seventh time today. Not exactly sure who got it because there was so much purple, white, and gold on top of Matthew Stafford.
Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn, and we have two hands on our microphones, unlike Kyle Rudolph, who only needs one hand to catch the touchdown highlight you just heard. Kyle Rudolph with his third touchdown of the season for the Vikings, helping the Vikings to a 28-19 victory over division rival Detroit. They move to 2-0 and sweep the season series against the Lions. They move to 4-2 overall this season. They've won two straight, and now they go on the road to play the Chicago Bears next week. Before we get into a little bit of Vikings and Bears later in this edition of the Wobcast, let's take a look back at the Vikings' victory over Detroit at Ford Field. Here's what Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer and some of his players were saying in the locker room following the decisive victory.
You know, I'm really proud of this football team. They to start off 14-3 and come back, score 22 unanswered points, play the way we did in the second half, I thought that was huge. Blair Walsh hitting five field goals. And we talked all week long about the reasons why we lost the game up here last year, and I think we fixed all those situations today. So, you know, it has nothing to do with where you play; it's how you play. Like I've been saying all along, they said that you can't have a better record at a temporary stadium. They said you can't win on the road. You say you can't do this, you can't do that. It's all about how you play, not really where you play. So
it's a great win today. Excited for Coach Zimmer getting the first divisional win on the road. And we knew coming into this game that, you know, it wasn't going to be easy. And Detroit came out firing away. They went up 14 points. Well, they scored those two touchdowns. And our defense did a great job of just responding and holding them to a field goal for the rest of the game. So that speaks volumes of those guys. Those guys buckled in and took care of business. And it was just great as an offense to get going. Talk about having 11 different guys touch the football. You know, it just shows that in this offense, everyone has a role. So, we're excited. And it's definitely important, you know, the difference between being 4-2 and being 3-3. We know how important that was.
We were just able to just keep those drives going and put points on the board. We didn't do a great job today. You know, we came out with a win, which is good, and it covers up a lot of things. But once we watch this film, there's a lot of things that we're going to be able to clean up. I think the most important thing is capitalizing in the red zone and leaving with 7 points instead of three.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't play clean football, but, you know, you're never going to play a full clean game, I mean, in the NFL. So to go on the road and not play our best and get a win is huge. I think it says a lot about our team, you know, all three phases. I know offensively they want to have a couple of drives back in the red zone, you know, defensively want to have a couple of drives back in the beginning of the game. So we just got to continue to work and grind. Another tough division road game next week in Chicago. So we'll see what we're made of going back to back.
It's the Lions game that swept you guys last year. Was it even sweep?
It's big to be 2-0 in our division. You know, that's all we care about. Getting W. So, you know, we 2-0 in our division. We got another road game coming up against Chicago. And you know, we just gotta keep on applying the pressure. You know, don't ease up. You know, we got a good thing going here, and the best thing we could do is just keep on working, keep on competing, and go out there and practice and clean up the mistakes and get better.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the Vikings win. We apologize again for being so late in putting this Wobcast up. We were filling out our offensive and defensive rookie of the year ballots, and there are so many options on the Vikings roster, so it took us a little bit longer than we thought it would, but Nate and I are here, and we're here to go over the good and the bad from the Vikings win over Detroit. Let's start with the good. 7 sacks on Matthew Stafford. All 3 levels of the Vikings defense chipping in to pressure quarterback Matthew Stafford, Everson Griffin and Tom Johnson representing the defensive line, each getting to Stafford. In the middle of the defense, level 2, all 3 starting linebackers get in on the action. Chad Greenway had a sack. Eric Kendricks was in on a couple. Anthony Barr had a sack. And then representing the secondary is your starting strong safety, Harrison Smith. He had a sack as well, was all over the field. Also finished with 8 tackles, had a tackle for loss. Harrison Smith, the do-everything defender, doing everything once again against the Detroit Lions. And I think that is, there's a lot of things that you can take away from the Vikings win, but once again, the Vikings defense almost becoming the identity of this team now in back-to-back weeks, really stealing the show and dominating an opponent. That's what the Vikings defense did on Sunday. Another good, Teddy Bridgewater, 25 of 35 for 316 yards with 2 touchdowns and perhaps most importantly, no interceptions. After last week's win over the Chiefs, a game in which Teddy did not exactly light up the box score, he had a good passing yardage number, but had a lot of people looking for more from him. How about responding in a big way? That's what Teddy did, and he did it while under duress. Only one quarterback in the NFL faced more pressure in terms of 5-man or more rushes than Teddy Bridgewater. And when Teddy faced that type of rush, a 5-man rush or more, he completed all 12 of his passes. So an outstanding job by Teddy Bridgewater, hanging in the pocket, delivering passes in the face of pressure, taking hits, getting back up, doing it all over again. He threw the ball all over the yard. The Detroit Lions overplayed the run, and Adrian Peterson and Teddy Bridgewater made them pay for doing that. Helping Teddy make him pay for doing that was this guy.
Teddy goes back to pass. He fires deep. Diggs open!
Caught. What a catch!
He left his feet for a
what
touchdown!
What a catch!
Stephon Diggs' first National Football League touchdown was absolutely spectacular. A 36-yard floater from Bridgewater, and the Vikings have taken the lead.
Oh, my heavens. What if there was any question left on the abilities of one Stephon Diggs, that there answers everything. Wide open. Beautiful move. Teddy leads him just a little too far. Diggs forced to leave his feet, Paul, and bring that thing in. No question that ball did not hit the ground. Wow, what a way to answer.
Now, you heard that touchdown. If you haven't seen it, stop what you're doing right now. Get on your phone or your computer. Go to Vikings.com and look up the Stephon Diggs highlight. An outstanding diving touchdown catch by Stephon Diggs, a 36-yard strike from Bridgewater to Diggs where he completely lays out, is completely horizontal, takes off from the 4-yard line, lands in the end zone with the ball, goes to the ground, secures the catch, doesn't hit the ground. The ball doesn't hit the ground, and it's a touchdown. One of the best plays of the season, if not the best play of the season so far in the NFL, and most certainly for the Vikings, registered by Stephon Diggs. Had a 100-yard receiving day, led the Vikings in receptions and in receiving yards. It's a back-to-back 100-yard receiving game run for Stephon Diggs, the first Vikings rookie to do that since Randy Moss in 1998. Pretty good company. Stephon Diggs was the Pepsi NFL Rookie of the Week last week, and he put it together another nice case to win those honors this week, although Amari Cooper may have something to say about that. The last thing we're going to touch on as far as good things that happened in the game, it was Blair Walsh.
This will be a 53-yard field goal attempt by Blair Walsh. Blair has hit 6 consecutive field goals. Snap, spot. Walsh's kick with great distance. It's up, and it is
Good!
That was a 53-yard field goal. Walsh also had another 50-yard field goal on the day, was 2 of 2 from 50-plus, was 5 of 5 on his field goals overall, also had 4 touchbacks. Blair Walsh in the last two games, 8 for 8 on field goals, 7 touchbacks. For the season, Blair Walsh, extra points and field goals, 24 of 28. That's 85.7%. Blair Walsh bouncing back very well from a subpar season last season and from a few misses in the preseason. He is kicking outstandingly right now. And if not for a missed PAT in this game, he probably would be your favorite to win special teams player of the week honors in the NFL. Again, that missed PAT may prevent him from doing it, but it didn't prevent the Vikings from winning. And in fact, Blair Walsh was a big reason why the Vikings were able to win. He salvaged those drives that stalled out in the red zone and in Lions territory, salvaged them with 3 points, and the Vikings were then able to kick off and play the field position game and unleash a great defensive effort on the Lions offense. So 7 sacks on Stafford, Teddy responding in a big way, Stephon Diggs does it again, and Blair Walsh getting into the swing of things. That is the good from the Vikings' victory over the Lions. Things we need to work on. We put ourselves in a hole early in this game, giving up big plays on defense. A 46-yard catch to Calvin Johnson on the first drive that led to a 1-yard touchdown catch by Calvin Johnson later on. And then in the second Lions drive of the game, a 55-yard catch and run by tight end Eric Ebron on broken coverage. And then a 7-yard touchdown catch by Ebron later in the drive. And before you knew it, before you could barely turn your TVs on to catch the start of the game, the Vikings were down 14-3. Obviously, resiliency, composure, and poise paid off, and the Vikings came back to win. But some things to clean up there in the first two drives of the game. Another thing, injuries. We saw 2 Vikings receivers go down in the game. Jarius Wright, after an incompletion, sounds like he's going to go through the NFL's concussion protocol. We'll wait for Coach Zimmer to update his status. And then Adam Thielen got hurt late in the game on a punt, actually, when the Vikings intentionally took a safety. Adam Thielen went down, so we'll wait for Coach Zimmer to update the status on Adam Thielen as well. Hopefully those guys are okay. And the last thing that we want to improve coming out of that win is red zone. The Vikings had trouble scoring touchdowns in the red zone. They were in the red zone 4 times, came away with just 1 touchdown, that one-handed catch by Kyle Rudolph. The last 2 weeks, they are 2 for 7. Scoring touchdowns in the red zone. They are 42% for the season, which is 18th overall. So it's kind of nice to win a game, to win it convincingly, to feel positive, to have momentum, to be going in the right direction, but to still have some coaching and teaching points for the coaching staff to give to the players in the week of preparation. I don't think that's a bad thing. That's our take on the game. Let's hear from our friends at the Around the NFL podcast to see what they had to say.
Bridgewater threw for 316 yards and 2 scores, and the Vikings sacked Matthew Stafford 7 times in a 28-19 win over the Lions. Colleen, the Lions had an 11-point lead in this game. What the hell went wrong?
The offensive line, that went wrong.
That's important.
I mean, they had a season high, Minneapolis did, or Minnesota, had 7 sacks in this game. And Detroit, they hadn't allowed that many all season long. So the offensive line completely imploded. Stafford actually needed x-rays after the game.
Took another beating.
Said it was fine. But on the other side of things, we saw guys like Stephon Diggs again have another great game.
For real.
Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, if he could play the Lions all the time, that'd be great for him. He had an awesome game for him.
Doesn't it feel like they've lost at home every week, too?
It also feels like the Lions, Vikings, and Bears have only played each other this season. Like, that's how the Vikings are 4-2. Mm. I don't know why. It seems like this NFC North is in this strange Bermuda Triangle. This is the second time these two teams have played, so that it's not just a feeling that the Vikings have been in the division a lot. They at least have an identity. I think they kind of know what they are. It might not be that exciting, but their defense is it.
We haven't gotten a lot of good Bridgewater games start to finish this year. I mean, if he starts playing at a more consistent level, and Diggs being a guy that could end up being a player now, a fifth-round pick could be a steal, you put in some AP, this team is a playoff team. I feel like they're one of the wild card teams. They look that way to me so far.
Well, they traded Hodges, a linebacker, 2 games ago, and look what Eric Kendricks has done since then. Led the team in tackles in week 6. He leads them in sacks with 2 in this game. And then look at the last 2 draft classes. 2014 brings you your quarterback, and Anthony Barr, one of the best young linebackers in the NFL. You get Eric Kendricks and Stephon Diggs here. We haven't seen much of Trey Waynes yet, but that could be great back-to-back draft class.
Linval Joseph is playing pretty well with them. It was a draft pick, a free agent pickup a couple years ago that didn't get a lot of love, but he is getting a lot of money. And they're surviving games where they're not getting great Adrian Peterson games. You know, last week they won a game where he struggled. This week he struggled for most of the game, but then broke off a 75-yard run, and that was basically it for him for the day.
Is it safe to say that he's not quite the same guy anymore?
I think it's the offensive line. He didn't have a chance last week. I didn't see this game yet, but last week he didn't have a chance.
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Pretty good, though. I mean, that's not Adrian.
No, I think it's the line. Adrian Peterson.
I think a lot of times before when I've seen his games this year, he didn't look like he could really reach that next level when he was running. It almost looked like his legs were a little heavy. And on that one long run that he had, I thought, reached that speed.
He's always had a little hitch in his giddy-up.
Yeah.
Even when at his peak when he ran for 2,000 yards.
Okay, let's take a spin around the NFC North. This is nearly a bye week for Nate Vaughn to give us a spin around the NFC North. Tell us why, Nate.
Well, I'll tell you why. The Packers and Bears both had the week off.
Right.
So, didn't lose, didn't win, didn't do anything.
Easy segment for you here.
Up. We only have one game to talk about. The game we've been talking about all along.
Right.
So, this will be pretty quick. Yeah, okay. Vikings win against the Lions. The Lions are now 1-6, probably on a plane right now, this very moment, on their way to London to take on the 2-5 Kansas City Chiefs.
Someone's got to win that game.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Someone does.
They could tie, I guess. And the people in London are used to ties because they watch soccer all the time. And that sport ends in a tie quite a bit.
That happens a little bit more often than American football.
Right.
The Packers and Bears, like we said, had the week off. The Packers still 6-0 playing at Denver, also 6-0 on Sunday night next week. So a big game there.
That's a cool game.
That will be a cool game.
I mean, talk about the quarterback matchup, right? Rodgers and Peyton Manning. A couple of defenses that are playing well. Very cool game on Sunday Night Football. We have a short trip because we play the Bears, so Nate will get off the team charter, get on the bus, come to Winter Park, go home, and be there in time to watch that game.
That'll be great.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it already.
Me too.
Like you said, the Bears 2-4 hosting your 4-2 Minnesota Vikings next week, and obviously we'll talk a lot more about that matchup later on this week. But right now, let's get back to over-unders.
Okay.
Let's see how you did this week.
I have a good feeling about this because we won convincingly. I'm usually very bullish on the Vikings over-under, so I have a good feeling about this. Tell me about it.
Well, you entered the week 8-7, so one game above 500, much like your Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
The first over-under we took a look at was quarterback knockdowns on Matthew Stafford, or fill-in-the-blank Lions quarterback. And we put the over-under at 5.5. And without even looking at actual knockdowns, I know that we had 7 sacks. So in taking the over, you proved to be correct.
Yeah. You know, the Vikings coaches tally the knockdowns. And sometimes, you know, two players get credited for one knockdown. So there are 23 tallies for quarterback knockdowns on the defensive stat sheet. That does not mean that there were 23 knockdowns. It means 23 times a Vikings player was involved in a knockdown. We'd have to go back and review the film to see exactly how many knockdowns there were. There were 7 sacks. I'm going to guess it was a double-digit number of times Matthew Stafford was forced to hit the deck. A tough day for the Lions pass protection, and by virtue of that, a tough day for Matthew Stafford, who's a very good quarterback. So not very many quarterbacks are going to perform well when they're under that much pressure and they're hit that well. But when you take the over on quarterback knockdowns for your team, you have a good day. So I'm very happy to take that one. What's next?
Next, we have all-purpose yards for Adrian Peterson. You know, he's had success for a number of years now against Detroit, including the first matchup of the season here in Minnesota. We put the over-under at 138.5 all-purpose yards for Adrian Peterson.
Felt good about this one.
Felt good. You took the over. That 75-yard run certainly helped your case, but in the end it was not enough. Ended up with 98 rushing yards, 12 receiving yards, equaling 110 total all-purpose yards. So the under would have been the wise choice on that, but I can't blame you for shooting for the stars.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian averages like 120-something, I think, against the Lions rushing, throwing a couple of receptions. I thought we'd get over that as well. But the Lions did what we've seen Denver and Kansas City do in as many weeks. They overplayed the run. They used run blitz, stunts, and slants up front to try and stop Adrian Peterson to clog his running lanes. It worked, except this time, Teddy and the passing game did what they didn't quite do enough of last week, and they made the Lions pay for it. And don't get me wrong, the Vikings scored 16 points and won the game last week against the Chiefs, so things were fine, and Teddy had like 249 yards passing. That's good, but this week was even better. Teddy went for 316. I believe his career high is 317 against the Falcons last year. Went for 316 this week against the Lions because the Lions were overplaying the run. Teddy made him pay. So now we get to see if the Bears are going to overplay the run or if they're going to take a look at the tape, see what Teddy did, and try and have a more balanced defensive approach. It will be interesting to see what Bears head coach John Fox does to the Vikings offense next week.
And that approach, you've seen that a lot against Adrian. They'll bring as many people as they can, and it'll work for almost every play except for one or two when there's
that's a good point.
Long runs.
Yes, that's a good point, because when you do that, you're overcommitting defenders to gaps. So you have to rob Peter to pay Paul at some point if you're going to overplay the run. And so if you do it at the wrong spot at the wrong time, Adrian's going to hit a big one on you because all he has to do is break through one line of defense. We saw him do that on fourth down against the Broncos a couple of weeks ago. We saw him do that against the Lions on Sunday when he broke off that 75-yard run. Another thing that can happen, and it happened to the Jets last year here in Minnesota in overtime, is if the quarterback gets you in the right play, he can sting you there too. Teddy got us into a wide receiver screen when the Jets went on a zero blitz in overtime, and Jarius Wright went down the sidelines for the game-winning touchdown. So there is risk, but the reward can be great. And the Vikings brought some pressure against Matthew Stafford. So they did a little bit of that as well, overloading one side, using deception and disguise to overload a side and pressure the quarterback. So defensive coordinators, defensive play callers have to get creative, and at some point you're going to have to take a risk, and then it just comes down to can you capitalize on your risk before they can hurt you for taking the risk. And the Vikings came out on the right end of that battle on both offense and defense on Sunday.
Yeah, one player that capitalized on the Vikings offense for some of those risks being taken by the Lions defense was Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
We put the over-under at 99.5 receiving yards for number 14. You took the over, and you were right. Six catches, 108 yards, and one very memorable touchdown. Also, for the record, one rush for 9 yards.
Right.
So there's that, too. But
all-purpose yards.
So taking the over proved to be the wise choice.
Yep, and I love making wise choices, and I love watching Stephon Diggs. And I don't know if he can keep up this pace or not, but I do know that teams are starting to pay him a little more respect. I noticed the Detroit Lions played off on him quite a bit, sometimes with a 15-yard cushion. Now, if they start doing that a bunch, you're going to see some of those whip screens. You're going to see some of those quick hitters to him, and now he's got the ball in space, so that's dangerous as well. It'll be interesting to see when that phase of his game comes into play. But nice to see Diggs get over the top on that double move that he put on Rasheen Mathis. Gets over the top. Teddy lays it out there perfectly for him. I don't know, Nate, where you were on the field during that play, what side you were on. Were you in the end zone? I don't remember where you were.
I was actually very near the Vikings sideline.
Okay. So. From the radio booth on that, it looked like an overthrow right out of the gates.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
You know, and not so bad where you looked at it and immediately gave up on it. But as soon as Teddy threw that, it was like someone's got to get going to get that. And Diggs did that and laid out, went completely horizontal. And again, I slowed it down. He left his feet at the 4-yard line and landed with his legs completely inside the goal line. I mean,
not a lot of guys can make that.
No, I mean, so who knows how fast he's running? 20 some miles an hour, I think. Leaves his feet and basically does a full body broad jump, a head first broad jump, for 12, 13, 14, 15 feet while securing a pass that was rainbowed to him in the end zone and not letting the ball hit the ground. Acrobatic catch by Stephon Diggs. I have a feeling we're going to be seeing more of those in the future from him.
Well, let's hope so, and let's hope it leads to many more Vikings wins.
And many more wise choices on over-unders by us.
That's right. Now 10-8 on the season, 2 above 500, just like your Minnesota Vikings.
Keeping pace with Mike Zimmer.
Hey, if we keep winning, that's good for you,
right,
too.
That is good. All righty, thank you, Nate. Let's clean things up here, and we'll take off until our later in the week edition of the Wobcast, where we will break down the Vikings and Bears matchup. Before that, a few notes. 1998 is the last time the Vikings won back-to-back road division wins. That's what they will do if they beat the Bears. They beat the Detroit Lions on the road. That's a division game. Bears, division game, it's on the road. So a Vikings victory this upcoming Sunday, back-to-back road wins for the first time since 1998. And that 1998 team was pretty good.
Decent.
Yeah. And then the Vikings have not won at Soldier Field since 2007. Adrian Peterson's rookie season, he had 224 yards rushing that game. He also had like a 55-yard kickoff return at the end of the game, which set up a Ryan Longwell 55-yard field goal to win the game. So it took an incredible amount of dramatic plays for the Vikings to win that game at Soldier Field. That's the last time they won, 2007. So we bring those stats up because Coach Zimmer, you know, he's aware of all those stats, but I don't think he likes hearing that, you know, because he wasn't a part of those teams and he cares about what this team can do. So he likes to use those stats as some motivation. So, you know, I know obviously Coach Zimmer downloads the Wobcast on iTunes and listens. So, Coach, write those stats down. We haven't won back-to-back road division games since 98, and we haven't won at Soldier Field since 2007. You can use that in your pregame speech at the hotel on Saturday. Oh, also, the Bears are coming off a bye. So for all of those who believe teams have a better chance of winning a game when they're coming off of a bye, that's another angle working against us on Sunday. The Bears come off a bye. Vikings are 4-2. They currently are the sixth seed in the NFC, and they have the number two scoring defense. All of that is working in their favor. They will prepare all week for the Chicago Bears. We will come back to you with another edition of the Wobcast later in the week to give you an update on the Vikings preparations and to break down that Vikings-Bears matchup. In the meantime, go to Vikings.com. Check out some of our great content. 96 Questions with B-Rob has been a lot of fun. Brian Robison on Thursdays goes around the locker room, asks his teammates weird questions. His teammates respond with weird answers, and then we put it on the internet. So it provides for some entertaining watching on the internet. You can also watch full highlights from the Vikings win over the Detroit Lions. So we're going to put together a special highlight of the Stephon Diggs touchdown catch. If you haven't seen that, you can go check that out. And then when it gets time to get excited for Vikings and Bears, the guys here at VEN have been putting together trailers, preview trailers, much like you watch movie trailers to preview an upcoming movie. We put together game trailers to preview an upcoming Vikings game. It'll be Vikings and Bears, so lots of cool footage will be used in that because it's an historic rivalry, one of the oldest in Vikings history. That game will be on Sunday. We'll come back with another Wobcast later in the week. So until then, and on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshaw. We'll talk to you next time. So yeah, I